the Video Reformation started as our manifesto 3 years ago when we adopted it. We feel like we needed to help businesses redefine the word video. It's not a deliverable. Video is a practice. And if you decide that you would like to become a client of ours, we're going to help you practice effective video for business.
The following is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that helps you get the job, manage the job, and get credit.
Hey, this is Gordon Henry at Winning on Main Street, and this week you get to meet Ben Oliver. Ben runs Storyboard Media in Durham, North Carolina, with his co-founder and business partner, Justin Plant, where they specialize in B2B video driven by strategy, produced with quality and measured for ROI. We'll get into all that. Ben writes the Video Reformation blog and hosts the Video Reformation podcast, and he can be found on Instagram writing and posting about how to build and execute your video strategy. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So lots of exciting things to talk about related to video and video production. So why don't we just start off with your company? What makes Storyboard unique?
So I think we learned very early that it wasn't enough to be a video production company. When Justin and I started this company in 2013, 2014, we were basically two one-man band videographers. Justin was a videographer for a company. I was brought in as kind of a freelance producer director. That's how we started working together. And so we wanted to be better video makers. We wanted to be the best audio people, video people, script writers, whatever. But we found no matter how creative we were or how well we executed a client's video, when we would go back 6 months later, basically to ask for the next project, we would start with, hey, how's the video doing? And we heard so often that they hadn't released it yet. Or they, like, their intern had put it on their own personal YouTube channel and they'd link to that on their website. Like, bottom line, whatever they were doing, they didn't know why they had done it in the first place. So even though they were ranting and raving about how great, you know, the video turned out, nobody knew what the purpose was in the first place. So nobody could define any kind of success, and we couldn't get any repeat business. So from that point, we had always gotten a lot of jobs because, and we were told this because we were asking questions that no one else was asking. And so we realized the connection there was that companies needed to have a purpose behind the video or videos that they were making. And once we started taking that more strategic approach and just asking those simple questions, what do you want this video to do? Deer in headlights. So it was immediately clear to us that we needed to help our prospective clients understand why they were going to make that video or videos in the first place. That then evolved to kind of our holistic, we call it the seven phases of video, right? So it starts with that foundation of strategy. And then we do pre-production. We shoot the thing, we edit the thing. And then it's all about getting it out there, promoting it to the right people, and then analyzing those insights to understand what we did right, what we did wrong, what to do differently next time. And so it just kind of grew into this holistic thing. So we tend to position ourselves as a video agency because, one, we don't want somebody to come to us with a script and say, here, shoot this for me. And two, we want to provide the value to our clients where they're going through that full process of understanding what they're getting into, what they want their audience to do, how they're going to measure success, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of evolved from a, you need to know these things, to we can now help you understand and figure these things out.
Okay, so it's a more holistic approach and it's a more strategic approach. So people think, well, what am I trying to get out of this? Why do you call it the Video Reformation, or what does the Video Reformation mean?
Yeah, so the Video Reformation started as our manifesto. It's the Video Reformation because we feel like 3 years ago when we adopted it, we feel like we needed to help businesses redefine the word video. So often, video is perceived as a noun, right? It's an MP4 file. It's a deliverable. It's this thing that gets embedded onto YouTube, right? But we want people in especially in the B2B world, but in the business video world anywhere, to see video as a verb. It's an activity. It's a process. We're going to develop strategic opportunities. We're going to film them however they need to be filmed, depending on budget, resources, things like that. So the video reformation is basically saying it's not a deliverable. Video is a practice. Mm-hmm. And we're here to, one, tell you what we think about that practice. And if you decide that you would like to become a client of ours, we're going to help you practice effective video for business.
Right. So let's talk about your clients. You guys do B2B video, you talk about. So who are generally your clients over there at Storyboard?
So we end up with a lot of clients in the B2B tech space, a lot of SaaS clients. We've got a mix of clients. We certainly do some B2C work, but you know, from a positioning standpoint, this is the stuff that we want to do and we're best at. Mm-hmm. So we say we're a B2B video agency. So we've got a lot of clients who are developing platforms or APIs or business apps that oftentimes are on the back end of everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Salesforce isn't a client of ours, but Salesforce would be a name that, I mean, people God, I would love for Salesforce to be a client, right? But Salesforce is this platform and this app that is used in the business world that isn't a consumer-facing kind of product, really.
Right. They sell to other businesses.
Yeah. And so our conversations and the audiences that we're creating video for are the ones who are making business decisions. And those are just fundamentally different decisions than a consumer would make. And that's why we feel that we have that best opportunity to kind of niche ourselves in the B2B space. So with that, a lot of those tech companies, a lot of these software companies, it's also kind of an abstract product too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't really want to show like the code. Mm-hmm. I mean, deeper down in the funnel when, you know, a chief information officer or probably even lower is looking at something, they may need to test code. We're doing a series of quick start videos with a client right now that is for the developer to run a test.
Yeah.
But it's more about taking these very technical, abstract things and kind of making them analogous to something that a regular person can understand, whether that's a CMO or a developer, right?
Right. But if I were running or you know, we have listeners who maybe run, you know, they're a dentist or car mechanic or restaurant, should video be a part of their strategy as well? And should they be thinking about it strategically the way you recommend to your clients?
Absolutely. I think the way that we approach video, just because we niche ourselves in B2B, isn't how, in fact, the Video Reformation Manifesto is practicing effective video for business.
Yeah.
It's not practicing effective video for B2B businesses.
Right. Business.
So whether you are a small local dentist's office or a one-off car mechanic or a local car dealership franchise that's maybe a larger business, the scale of your production may change because of the resources, budget, manpower, et cetera, that you have. But as long as everybody's starting from that purpose of their video, what is it I want this video to say? Who am I trying to say it to? And what do I want that person to do as soon as they've watched this video? It doesn't matter whether you're B2B, B2C, or any other B2 whatever that somebody could come up with. Understanding that is going to set you on the right path to make the right video or videos.
Right. So why is video now so important? I mean, you've explained that it, you know, you got to think about it strategically and it's a practice, not a deliverable. You know, this is a big thing. You got to think about it as a company trying to market yourself. Is this something new or that's changed because of the way the internet has changed? Why is it so important now?
It's hard for me because I live, breathe, sleep this every day, right? Video is all that we do. And so for me, it's not a new and novel thing. But ever since kind of the DSLR revolution of, when was that? 2008, 2009, something like that. Once people could get cameras that shot video into their hands on a consumer level, it kind of opened up the democratization of video. And so it was very novel. You know, internet bandwidth has gone up. Compression has gotten better. I don't even, when I talk to anybody, really throw out any of the stats of why video, because I feel like we're almost 5 or 6 years past the why video. But for any of the late adopters, it's almost at this point an expectation. And I think one of the, once we've gotten past those limiting factors of the cost of production, access to a camera and an editor, bandwidth issues in terms of being able to serve 4K video. I mean, think about the size of what a Netflix 4K movie file must be. And we're just queuing that up without any buffering issues on our phones, on our TVs, everything. So we can basically put anything in front of an audience now. And the reason to use video is because of that show and tell that video provides. Yeah. Because certainly there are people who are going to listen to this podcast and they're just hearing something. Even though we're just having a two-person conversation here, anybody who would be watching this would be getting more information by watching our nonverbals, even back and forth, as you and I are talking, right? So when you can start to then deliberately add detail, bullet points, subtle graphics, vast, complex graphics,
sure.
And then you can also have somebody talking about something similar at the same time, our brains are capable of taking in so much information, and we really just need to be taking advantage of that visual information that people can absorb, and we're smart enough to understand what somebody's saying at the same time.
Yeah. So one big question I've had about business use of video is, when is it smart and appropriate for the business to kind of do it themselves, DIY it, you know, where they have, you know, the iPhone and they take the picture of the car being repaired or the pizza being made or the dentist fixing your teeth? And when is it time to hire Storyboard Media or somebody like Storyboard Media?
Yeah, that's a great question. If we set the context here as somebody is taking that strategic thinking to it, right? They've got a new product, they've got a new service, they want potential customers to understand it. And they've gone through and just thought, here's what I need to say, here's who I'm saying it to, and here's what I want them to do. If we're talking about people who are just taking that basic step, there's nothing wrong with shooting it on an iPhone, not editing it, doing anything like that. That comes down largely to, and it's one of the tenets of the manifesto, is attainability, right? It's better to make a video on your iPhone and get it out there, saying the things you need to say, targeting the people you need to target and asking them to do the thing you want them to do, than to not do it because you feel like you don't have the budget to do it right or something like that. Yeah. I would also lean very heavily on my audience. What do I know about my audience? How savvy are they? What am I selling? Am I selling a, you know, $250 diagnostic that's now free or something like that? You know, what's the product? What's the service? What's the audience? If you're a bigger brand, if you've got those resources, then it oftentimes makes sense to either build up an internal video team or bring in someone like us. Another reason that you would go to someone like us, and again, I would differentiate us as a video agency rather than just a video production company, is if you start to go through that strategic thinking and say, man, we've got a whole bunch of videos we need. I don't know how this is all going to fit together. That's where we really start to dig in. So our entire strategic engagement with our clients is called a springboard. And I tend to lead those with another strategist that's on our team. And we'll talk to various stakeholders within an organization, understand what their goals, audience, key messaging, differentiators, competition, what channels they're using. We dig into all of that to basically build out a video roadmap. And each of those strategic opportunities that we identify for video ties back to one of those goals. It's specifically speaking to one of those audiences. So it's like anybody can play checkers, but from a strategic standpoint, if you want to start to play chess and figure out how these things fit together, where are the economies of scale in production? How do you need to target messaging for this particular persona as opposed to that persona? That's where I would then seek out a company like us where we can help you map all that out and put a plan together. And then we can either execute it, you could execute it, you could go to someone else to execute it from that production side. But that's typically when we can bring the most value to our clients, is when there's that advanced level of roadmap building.
Wow, fascinating changes in the video industry. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back in just a minute with more from Ben Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for that next spark of inspiration to take your business to the next level? Thrive, the leading software for small business, presents Connect 21. The year's leading small business conference for entrepreneurs like yourself will feature some of today's most successful business leaders, industry pioneers, and software experts. Hear from a lineup of inspirational speakers, including Ramon Ray, founder of SmartHustle.com and author of four books, including Celebrity CEO, and Jonathan Morris, Texas-based entrepreneur and host of the newest show from Magnolia Network, Self-Employed. You'll have the opportunity to participate in educational breakout sessions with small business experts and leading executives from Merrill Lynch, AudioEye, and others. So grab a cup of coffee and join us for this virtual interactive event on November 10th and 11th. This is the small business conference you won't want to miss. Register now at www.thrive.com/connect. That's thryv.com/connect. Come to connect. Leave inspired.
And we're back with Ben Oliver from Storyboard Media. And we were just talking about, you know, when it's appropriate for a business to sort of do it themselves versus hire a company like Storyboard. You say in your blog, buyers are now more likely to learn about a company from its produced educational content than they are from its marketing ads. I find that fascinating. What does that really mean, their produced educational content?
Produced educational content is, the short answer is, it's a way to avoid the buzzwordiness of thought leadership content. Mm. I am still a huge believer in thought leadership content, but it's become one of those words where people just start to close off their brain when they hear a thought leadership, like synergy or anything else, right? And so it's really about the big statistic that's been out there the last few years is basically that any kind of buyer is essentially on average, and I don't know how necessarily they quantify this, but they're 83% of the way through their buying process before they reach out to anybody at a company, a salesperson, to get a demo, anything like that, right? So because there's so much information available on whether you're buying a car or figuring out which web hosting platform to use or which video agency to hire or whatever, there's so much information out there that we're doing a ton of self-educating as buyers. And it is very clear that it's the things that, it's the content that helps those buyers understand what their problems are, right? What are their pain points? I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I really have to figure out how to cut 15% off of my video hosting platform budget this year. That's a real pain point I'd like to solve, right? How can I be more efficient with the content that I'm going to want to share or whatever? We've got a very interesting client, Gartner, the analyst company. They decided in January of last year that the, what was it? It was like a web development platform was the term for the industry. And that basically covered CMSs and however you would basically update websites and digital ads and things like that. And all of a sudden that was no longer going to be called a web development platform. That was going to be called digital experience products. And that entire industry that's basically been around for 20 years, helping non-technical people make websites, basically, all of a sudden that entire industry had to pivot and help educate all of the people who have been using CMSs understand all of this new terminology and how these things all work together. And I have a little cynical view of Gartner, but so that's a little biased, but it was all of a sudden, there's this tremendous opportunity just to help people in that space understand what is a headless hybrid CMS. Mm-hmm. What is, and how does it relate to what you've been using for the last 20 years? And sometimes it's just the same thing with a new name. Yeah. So that's just one example, but there's so much opportunity to educate buyers and you can earn so much credibility and trust if you're the place that they keep finding answers that make sense to them.
Yeah. One related point I've heard made by actually previous guests on this show, which I find really interesting, is companies opening up what they do and using often video to show customers, if you will, making the sausage, you know, how the sausage gets made. And I think this is really true today, that people are interested in how you fix my air conditioner. People are interested in how you, you know, drill on my teeth even. You know, people are interested in how you landscape or how you, you know, paint my walls even. You know, people want to know this stuff, maybe because they think someday they'll do it themselves. Maybe they're just curious. But I think gone are the days where you just sort of hire someone to do something and then just say, go do it. You know, people want to, and it goes back to your point. Maybe it's because now so much of the information is available to us that wasn't available before. I want to understand, you know, what are the condenser units for my air conditioning that I potentially could buy, you know, A, B, or C. You know, I want to learn that stuff, at least enough to make an educated decision. And so video is a great way to do that, is just to kind of open up the company and say, here's what we do and here's some information. And you can research as much or as little about it as you want as the customer or consumer.
Are you familiar with the book Rework?
Rework, no.
Rework. It's by Jason Fried and David Hanemeyer Hansen. They're the co-founders of Basecamp. And it's a super easy read. I recommend it to anybody who has any kind of entrepreneurial spirit, because they basically, well, so they do a lot of that. They show how they make the sausage. One of the examples is that when they first released Basecamp, there was a 30-day free trial for all new users. 7 days before the launch, somebody was panicking about their payment platform, and they realized that they didn't have to charge anybody until 37 days out instead of 7 days out, because everyone had the 30-day trial. So they were able to just push that decision down and not panic about it now. Another example that they used is, you know, any kind of famous chef, celebrity chef from television, right? They have these cooking shows, and what they do is they show their recipe. They're showing the exact quantities. They're not even saying, and this is my little secret sauce, right? They're not afraid that somebody's going to come in and open up a restaurant right next door to them and take away their business. And so having that mindset of wanting to share your expertise, your perspective, your opinions, your process is one, like you were saying, I think more expected because there's more curiosity out there. And two, again, just that way to kind of build trust and be like, oh, well, that seems legit. And this guy's perfectly transparent. Great. I should go check out his restaurant or whatever.
Yeah. Great point. We just have a few minutes left. I wanted to turn a little bit to the personal side of Ben Oliver. How did you get started in video production?
Well, it started with a lie. I had been in various corporate sales jobs in the finance world for about 6 years. I moved to small business payroll with a large national organization for 2 years until, of course, 2008 mortgage crisis and following happened. Half of our sales office got laid off one Monday morning, and I had no idea what I was going to do next. I had developed these relationships with local bank branches to help get their banking customers signed up and have their business registered for a tax ID number, get registered articles of incorporation registered with a state, by way of helping the bankers open more bank accounts to set up opportunities for me to sell these small businesses payroll. Well, when I had no job anymore and I looked at the relationships that I had, I knew that I could leverage those bank relationships and actually charge people a modest fee to help get them a tax ID, get them registered with the state. I mean, basically LegalZoom on a super small scale. And as I started working with some of those small local businesses, I just kept saying yes to things. And I ended up with one client who I was helping them develop their product. One day they asked me if I knew how to edit video, and I had an iMac and I'd played around an iMovie. And so desperate for more billable hours, I said, yeah. And so they sent me this terrible camcorder footage where they had literally shot a series of videos with the co-founder of the company as a ventriloquist. And I was able to find the story in there and add just enough creative elements just by experimenting and having been asked to try to put something together with no pressure. And on like the third video for them, I was like, this is what I was put on this planet to do. Video editing is like the extension of how my brain works. And so from that point on, it was, how can I do more editing? All right, well, I'm tired of editing really crappy footage from people. So how can I learn how to shoot, right? And then now how can I conduct a really good interview? And how can I, and so you go through that whole creative learning process where your ideas then start to exceed your technical abilities. And that's really when Justin and I just decided to start figuring out what this company would be and could be. He was ready to leave the company he was a video person for. In fact, the first time I had hired him as kind of a second person for one of my client shoots down on the coast. And on the drive back, he said, hey, can I buy you dinner and kind of pick your brain? Because I'd like to leave the company and start my own thing. And I said, no, because I didn't want more competition. And I was tired of selling myself, right? I said, but you can buy me dinner and we can talk about partnering. And we spent 4 months meeting nights and weekends. There was a hot dog restaurant that was basically halfway between both of our homes where we would meet and figure out what storyboard was going to be called, what were we going to be about, all of those things. And then all of a sudden, we're then two guys making videos. And then, of course, fast forward now 8 years from that, I haven't hit record on a camera,
right?
Or actually been in Premiere Pro or Final Cut editing right. anything in
well, you're the boss
at least
now.
2 years.
You're running the joint, right?
Right. And so I get to jump in and involve myself in any of those conversations. I got to spend right. 5 days on set in the last 2 weeks, having yeah. fun with clients and talent on set. Right. So, yeah, I mean, it all started from just kind of taking that risk and saying, yeah, I can edit something for you.
Right. I love it. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yep.
And you and Justin started in a hot dog restaurant. It's great. Yep. Entrepreneur story. Yep. So when you're not, you know, working, what do you do for fun in Durham?
I am terrible at work-life balance. I am a big hockey fan, to be perfectly honest. So for me, I kind of have hockey season. In fact, when I moved from the DC area where I was born and raised down to the Triangle area, Raleigh-Durham here 18 years ago, I think it was, I had a job with the Carolina Hurricanes. And I just like in 1 day, I took that job offer. I signed a lease on an apartment. And I bought a car, and that's what got me down here. And so the Hurricanes and hockey are kind of where I put all of my energy between October and, well, hopefully June, but sometimes April.
Depends. Yeah.
But, you know, and I think I didn't realize it until the pandemic, but I love live performances of any kind. So whether it is a sporting event or a stand-up show or a concert, I spent some time in my early career as a touring professional musician. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But we have just fantastic arts and culture spots around here where we do get a lot of those big acts and things like that. So I'm going to see Bob Saget at the Raleigh Improv on Friday. I'm going to see Patton Oswalt next month, Elvis Costello down in Charlotte in December. That's what I do with my time. And fortunately in this area, I can do pretty much anything that I want with that.
Right. Well, it's been great meeting you, Ben, and speaking with you. And if people want to find you, best place is storyboardmedia.co. Is that right?
Yep. Storyboardmedia.co. I'll shamelessly plug the podcast. So it's the Video Reformation Podcast. And of course, it's wherever you would find any podcast. And then if you go to the website, you can find our channels. We're best on LinkedIn and Instagram, and we're at Storyboard Media on both of those. I am personally at Storyboard_Ben. Anybody want to see the pictures I take at hockey games?
All right. Well, this has been great, and thanks for stopping by. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and tell a friend or colleague to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. And until next time, make it a great week.